Thank you, Pastor Rasmussen. I certainly appreciate your kindness in inviting me to come to speak to your people today on this very important theme of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was here, I believe it was like 4 years ago, and came to Luzerne, the camp, and some of you perhaps were there in that camping season in the summertime, and I also spoke in the church at that time. The plan for the series on the blood of Christ is going to be as follows. This morning in the Sunday school hour, the Bible school hour, we plan to explain. We want to explain the history of the blood of Christ. That's the first point. And then this morning at 10 o'clock, Lord willing, in the morning service, we want to expose the heretic concerning the blood of Christ, namely John MacArthur. And this evening, we want to expound the Holy Scriptures on the blood of Christ. So, explaining the history this morning, exposing the heretic, and expounding the Holy Scriptures on the theme of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. I better put a microphone a little closer here, and another one a little closer here. We've got a couple of mics. I hope you don't mind us video recording our remarks this morning and this evening, as well as taping it on tape. Mrs. Wade is not able to be here today, and she likes to hear what I have to say and see what I have to say and see how I say it, so we'll do that. Dr. MacArthur, who is 10 to 15 miles away, I understand, from you folk here, according to an interview in Fundamentalist Journal, November 1984, has 10,000 people attending his church, speaks on nearly 200 radio stations nationwide, and according to page 48 of that interview, has a yearly budget of $9 million. We would call him a $9 million man. Bill Gothard is not up to that. I think he's about a $6 million man, but John MacArthur, a $9 million man, I speak of that as his church income and offering. And $9 million men and $6 million men don't very often back down when they're wrong. Why should they? Why should they listen to the pea shooters, the small caliber pistols and so on that raise voices against them? But you know, God has a way of toppling even $129 million men, as we've seen in recent weeks. And God is able, but the truth will win out. The theme this morning and this evening, as far as the text of Scripture that we'd like to specify, is Hebrews 9:22, familiar to all of you, I'm sure. Hebrews 9:22. If you'd like to turn in your Scriptures. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Cleansing is by blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. And then there's an additional scripture verse I'd like to keep foremost in our discussions this morning and this evening, and that is Hebrews 10:29. In 10:28 it says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Then verse 29, "Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." I'm not sure that John MacArthur has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith Christ was sanctified an unholy thing. I'm not certain of that. If he has, he's under the judgment of God, sore, severe punishment of God. But be that as it may, we'll let the Lord decide that. I just want to say that God considers the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of that blood at Calvary in his death for sinners a very vital part of his word and of his theology and of the Bible. It's not a little simple thing, and it would be easier not to even have to speak about the subject, because historically the fundamental Bible believers have always held the proper view. But now we're having other views. So this morning, explaining the history on the blood of Christ. There are 439 verses in Scripture on blood. 439. There are 338 of those in the Old Testament, 101 of them in the New. 338 in the Old, 101 in the New. What I'd like to do this morning in explaining the history on the blood of Christ is take up 8 and then touch on the 9th topics. First, the biblical basis for explaining the history in the blood. Second, various unbelievers that have made statements on the blood. Third, Bishop G. Bromley Oxton and others in his statement. Number four, the communist statements on the blood of Christ. Number five, some McMaster professors in McMaster University in Canada on the blood. Number six, today's English version, the American Bible Society's Good News for Modern Man and the Blood of Christ. And then seven, some statements by Pastor R.B. Thiem, Jr. on the blood of Christ. Eight, Eugene Nida as United Bible Society translator on the blood of Christ. And then nine, MacArthur on the blood of Christ, John MacArthur. But we'll take MacArthur probably in the morning service. But let's see if we can at least cover these eight things on the explaining the history and the blood of Christ. Starting with the Bible, the biblical basis, we go to Genesis 3:7, where Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, sewed upon themselves fig leaves in order to cover their nakedness. And in verse 21, God said that would not do, and he clothed them with the skins of animals. And that necessitated the shedding of blood. It indicates that man at the very start did not want to be properly covered and clothed in the presence of a holy God, but with his own making sewed the fig leaves. Beautiful, I'm sure, very crafty and with great craftsmanship, I'm sure. But yet, it was not what God wanted. I remember old Dr. M.R. DeHaan, Sr., of the Radio Bible class. I was very much influenced as a junior and senior at the University of Michigan while I was a student there, 45 to 48. Dr. DeHaan had a Radio Bible class, Detroit Bible class, every Friday night. We used to go up there. But I remember one of the things Dr. DeHaan said when he talked about the skins that were used in Genesis 3. He said God was teaching three things about redemption. One, redemption and forgiveness had to be by death. Second, it had to be by the death of an innocent substitute. Those animals had done nothing. And third, it had to be by the shedding of blood. Those three points in the early chapter of Genesis 3, speaking of redemption, by death, by the death of an innocent substitute, by the shedding of blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ certainly died for our sins. He was an innocent substitute, and he shed his precious blood as the one that would forgive our sins. And so in Genesis 3, then Genesis 4, verses 1 to 10, Cain and Abel, and the history of the blood and the dodging of that theme. Satan's main theme from Genesis to Revelation is to dodge the blood of an innocent substitute and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of any animal that was slain, pointing to Calvary. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the Savior himself. And so, how did Cain do it? He brought the vegetables and the fruit, the produce of the ground, and he offered them to God. How did Abel do it? Evidently, God had told man what pleased him, and he brought of the firstlings of the flock and made an offering, and it pleased the Lord, and God had respect unto the offering, to Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. I heard what I consider to be a very false teaching from my own church, Haddonites Baptist Church, Haddonites, New Jersey, a couple of weeks back. They had a Bible conference, and a good friend of mine, Dr. Jack Jacobs, was the speaker and the preacher. Dr. Jacobs was formerly a teacher at Baptist Bible College, Baptist Bible Seminary, Clark Summit. And Dr. Jacobs is now in Ohio, and near Cleveland area, but he was teaching on Cain and Abel. You know what he said? He said, I don't like this idea that Cain was cursed because he brought of the vegetables and the fruit, and Abel was blessed because he brought of the firstlings of the flock and blood was shed. He said, I don't necessarily buy that. And he proceeds to say that maybe it was the attitude of heart. And if Cain's heart was right, this would be equally acceptable to God as if Abel's heart was right. No way. But you see, it says God had respect to Abel and to his offering. Both, you see. And he did not have respect either to Cain or to his offering. Now, no matter how Cain's heart was, the offering was wrong. And he had no respect to that offering because it was not the shedding of the blood of an innocent substitute, as was Abel's. So right in the Bible, we see the biblical basis for this whole controversy of the blood and the importance of shedding of blood for remission and forgiveness of sins. Let's move on to the second thing, to some unbelievers in history. I neglected to bring about 200 copies, Pastor, of John MacArthur and the Blood of Christ and various things we have on Dr. MacArthur. Could I bring those this evening? And the people can get them tonight. But we carry many, some 22 things in our Bible for Today ministry on the blood of Christ. But one of them, and on MacArthur and his teachings, various teachings, one of them is what we call, and it's an excellent one, I think all of you should get it, number 1412, the Bible for Today, number 1412, The Savior's Blood, Symbolic Fantasy or Glorious Reality. It's written by a pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Nashville, New Hampshire, Pastor Wilson Ewan, June of 86. So it's a very fresh approach. But he says, and he quotes on page 7, some of the heretics that have always been against the atonement and the blood of Christ, and he names them, Voltaire, Huxley, Spencer, Diderot, Braidlaw, Tom Paine, right down to Bob Ingersoll. All these skeptics and heretics have made statements against the blood of Christ. And we list them in that place. And then take a look at Oxnam, Bishop G. Bromley Oxnam. He was a Methodist and a bishop in the Methodist Church. And he refers to the New Testament and the fundamentalist concept of that as a slaughterhouse religion. Others have made similar statements. I think of men like George Buttrick and some of these other heretics in the early days of the 1900s. But G. Bromley Oxnam, the slaughterhouse religion. Then think of the communist statements in regard to blood. I remember reading in times past of some of the things the communists say they're going to do when they have their revolution and what they have done in China and communist Russia and some of these other countries. I'm going to take the intestines of the preachers and strangle them with the very things that I'm going to take them out, and then I'm going to make them drink their own blood. They want blood, the blood of Christ? We'll have them drink their own blood. See, blasphemous things. But communism is against the blood of Christ. Oxnam is against the blood of Christ. Ingersoll and Paine and Spencer and Aldous Huxley and Voltaire and all these men against the blood of Christ. Then let me give a specific illustration of McMaster University and some of the statements that their professors said recently, not too recently, but back a few years in this decade. And Brother Ewan mentions this in his document on page 12. Let me read it because it parallels closely some of the very statements made by John MacArthur 10 or 15 miles away from us this morning. Canadian Baptists recall the efforts made 50 years ago, I would put it in 1937, roughly, 1936, to save the group from modernism. Professors Marshall and Farmer were teaching at McMaster University. The doctrine they attacked with most abuse was that of the blood of Christ. Let me read it to you. Mr. Marshall taught, quote, "You can understand the early Christian emphasis on the blood of Christ when the Roman world was full of ideas of that kind, trusting actual blood for cleansing from sin. The blood of Christ in the New Testament," he says, "is due to the influence of pagan religions. My point was that you have to remember that the world in the apostolic age was reeking with sacrificial blood." Continuing this quote, you have that in Mithraism. Not only Jews, but pagans were relying on blood. The apostles naturally laid stress on the blood of Christ in opposition to this. But the apostles never did think of the physical blood of Christ as being the cleansing agent. I'm still quoting this heretic. The idea that God has the physical blood is absurd. Same as MacArthur. I hope my point is clear now. I'll continue quoting this heretic named Marshall. When the apostles referred to blood, they referred to his sacrifice. Sound familiar? Blood equals sacrifice or death. Continuing. They could have referred to it without the blood, had it not been that the world was full of it at that time. All the way through Paul's teaching, his great thought is that the saving thing is his life. Still quoting this heretic. His fellowship was with a risen and glorified Savior. Away with this crass, physical notion. Who wants to wallow in blood? It is spiritual, of course. I do not mind, who knows what I say on that point. This unquote, Heretic Marshall from the Gospel Witness, under the title Ichabod. That's the title of the article, November 4th, 1926. Now, that lays a picture, doesn't it? That lays a background. That's a current 50-year-old story of a man and his teaching on the blood of Christ, spiritualizing the blood and these other things. Well, today's English version came out, put out by the American Bible Society, moving on in the history of this controversy surrounding the blood. And they mistranslated. Robert Bratcher was the translator. He has been exposed since in many ways as an apostate, denying the inerrancy of Scripture, denying the virgin birth of Christ. He's a Southern Baptist. In fact, the American Bible Society got so angry with him and some of his statements and interviews that they dismissed him. But that's all right. They still pay a portion of his salary because you know where he is now? He's in the United Bible Societies, which is the world system of the American Bible Society. And the American Bible Society supports the United Bible Societies about 50% of its budget. And so he's still being paid by the American Bible Society and the so-called Christians in this country. But we had a report. We call it the ABS, the American Bible Society and the Blood of Christ. I wrote this very early in 1967, in fact, originally. And I analyzed this. Of course, many of the writers have done this. I'm not the only one. But there are 101 verses, as I said, in the New Testament on blood. 101 in the New Testament. That Greek word is haima, A-I-M-A, with a rough breathing over the A, which makes it H-A-I-M-I, if you want to say haima, or A rather, H-A-I-M-A, haima. We have that in hematology and so on, and hemoglobin and so forth. And of these 101 passages on blood, 36, the Today's English Version, or Good News for Modern Man, of the American Bible Society and Dr. Bratcher, 36 of them do not get translated blood. Now, haima means blood. It's physical blood. That's what it means. Exact translation. That Greek word haima is blood. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But 36 times, the Today's English Version renders it by something other than blood, usually by death or one of the substitutes. Now, of the 36 times where they do not translate haima as blood, 20 of them do not refer to the blood of Christ, but something else. I have them all listed here. But 16 of these references do refer to the blood of Christ. We see in the first Today's English Version, or Good News for Modern Man, the attempt on the part of the American Bible Society to twist the actual object, which is blood, and make it into an event, which is death. The object is made into an event, and wrongfully so. For instance, in Acts 20:28, God's word says, and the Greek says, and the King James Version says, he's purchased with his own blood. They say he's made through the death of his own son, changing blood to death. Romans 3:25, we see in the King James and in the Greek text, propitiation through faith in his blood. They offered so that by his death he should become the means, and so on. Romans 5:9, we see justified by his blood. Today's English version and Bratcher changes it by his death. We are now put right. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. They change it to for by his death, or by the death of Christ, we are free. Ephesians 2:13, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. They change it, you're brought near by the death of Christ. And Colossians 1:14, we have redemption through his blood. They take out blood completely out of that verse, as you know, following the Westcott and Hort false text. Colossians 1:20, we have peace through the blood of his cross, they say through his son's death. Hebrews 10:19, we have boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Christ. They change it by means of the death of Jesus. Hebrews 13:20, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, they change to because of his death, and so on. 1 Peter 1:19, with the precious blood of Christ, they change to the costly sacrifice of Christ. Revelation 1:5, washed us from our sins in his own blood, they change to by his death he has freed us. Revelation 5:9, when God says he's redeemed us to God by thy blood, they change it by your death. And so you see, blood is not any longer blood in the Today's English Version and in the Good News for Modern Man. And this was historically de-emphasis on the blood of Christ. Then let's go to a man by the name of Robert B. Thieme, Jr., and his false view and heresy on the blood of Christ. We got out a booklet on this called The False Teaching of R.B. Thieme, Robert B. Thieme, Jr. That's the cover, the front cover, it looks like that. 103 pages, as I recall. We still carry it. It's gone into the hundreds and thousands of homes ever since Pastor Bob Walder got it out. And he said it was too much for him. He's with the Lord now, and he gave it to the Bible for Today to get out to all the highways and byways. 1972 is when Thieme came up with this heretical notion and false view and false teaching in the blood of Christ. Now, he's a graduate of the same school I am, Dallas Theological Seminary. Bob Thieme is. He's in Houston, Texas, a large church. He's got, excuse me, he has many different heresies and false teachings and immoralities and everything else. He's now married to formerly his secretary. I knew both of them at Dallas. He was just leaving as I was coming in. I came in 1948 to 52, and I think he left about 1949, went into Houston. But I knew Betty Thieme, and he divorced her and married his secretary and so on, whom he'd been allegedly being with for many years prior to that marriage. Various things we could say about Bob Thieme. He's a very bright, intelligent man. He's a very sharp thinker. He's also very loose with his language and swears and so on. We've heard various tapes and so on, my wife and I. But false teaching of Robert B. Thieme, Jr. on the blood of Christ. Pastor Walder goes into this, and in this study that your pastor has referred to, John MacArthur's Heresy in the Blood of Christ, in the back, in the appendix, we make reference to various quotations from our theme, a book that we've printed and published. And on page, appendix page 25, Pastor Thieme teaches that Christ did not shed his blood at Calvary. That the blood of Christ, where reference to the blood is made in Scripture of the New Testament writings, does not refer to or mean his literal blood for our salvation. Exactly the same teaching as MacArthur, as we will see later. You see, this heresy of the blood, what I'm trying to show in the explaining the history on the blood of Christ, is moving closer and closer and closer into the fundamental circles. See, it starts with the apostates and communists, and then moves into the American Bible Society with the liberals and compromisers and so on. Now with Bob Thieme, with Dallas Theological Seminary, which is supposedly a conservative seminary, it is new evangelical, as your pastor said, where I went to school and so on. And from there, we go into MacArthur, who's supposed to be a conservative. He's not a fundamentalist. He's not a separatist in that sense, but it's supposed to be a conservative evangelical. And so where do we stop? We could, as another illustration, quote, and perhaps we will before long, the Christian Science view of the blood. And we would say, oh my, that's a very great error. Yes, it is. If I can find it in all of our shuffle here. But Mary Baker Eddy, in her Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, on page 25, and I checked this in Pastor Rasmussen's office last night, on salvation, says as follows. The material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the accursed tree than when flowing in his veins as he went daily about his Father's business. Unquote. Science and Health, Key to the Scripture, page 25, lines 6, 7, 8, and 9. Now, that's exactly the emphasis of Thieme and of MacArthur against the material blood of Christ. They don't like this physical blood, this literal blood of Christ. That's Eddyism. That's heresy. That's satanic from the pit of hell. And the devil does not want the material blood of Christ. Notice it again. The material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cursed tree than when it's flowing in his veins and so on. Exactly what MacArthur and Thieme are teaching. The blood was not efficacious to cleanse from sin. These are his almost exact words, as we'll see in the next hour. But it's moved, as I say, from way far out into the left field bleachers and the heresies and the apostasy and various things into the evangelical realm. And we must face it as such. Thieme also says, here's what most people believe. This is what, quoting Thieme, page 25 of my study. They believe that somehow, when he died, that is Christ, This solved the problem of salvation, made it possible, and his blood was collected in a bowl and he took it to heaven. And that's what I believe. I believe the scriptures will teach, as we'll show in the next hour in the evening service. And then theme says this, about having the Lord Jesus presenting his blood on the mercy seat in heaven itself. He says, and it is just as weirdo as it can be. Now, he's calling the precious blood of Christ presented to the Father in fulfillment of all the typology of the Old Testament as weirdo. This is theme. It is blasphemy. It is blasphemy. And then theme says this. I'm quoting on page 26 in the appendix of my study here. The blood of Christ on the cross does not refer to his literal blood. That's exactly what MacArthur's teaching. See, themism and MacArthurism are united, and this history must include both. Theme also says, Bob Theme, but wherever the blood of Christ is mentioned in connection with the cross, it is referring to something else. In other words, not literal blood. Let me quote again from page 26 of my study. The blood of Christ, he says, Theme, refers to the spiritual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Here it is, Bratcher, American Bible Society. Blood means death, you see. And this, of course, is MacArthur as well. Pastor Bob Walter says, a careful analysis of the usages of the term blood is in reference to Christ's work for us at Calvary discloses an obvious and clear literal meaning, or else another term would have been used. That's exactly correct. Then theme says this, quoting from page 27 of my study, there is no blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins that saves you, unquote. You see, this is again MacArthur's teaching. The blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins does not save us, does not cleanse us. And then summing up theme's teaching, also on page 27, he definitely teaches the following things about the blood of Christ at Calvary. One, this blood is not to be taken literally with regard to our salvation. That's the first heresy of Bob Theme, and MacArthur shares that. Two, the blood was not shed at Calvary. He doesn't even believe he shed his blood, a theme. Number three, Christ's blood, as used in the New Testament books, always refers to Christ's spiritual death and not to his physical death. Spiritual death, but it's not literal blood. And various other things. Now, Pastor Walder has a good insight on this heresy of theme, and I think we should quote it here. In the light of the foregoing, says Pastor Walder, Bob Walder is one of our GRB regular Baptist pastors, as I say, he's with the Lord now. He says, no Christian should accept this man's false teaching about the blood. We could say the same about MacArthur. When the New Testament speaks of the blood of Christ, it means the literal blood of Christ, as has been taught through the centuries as a cardinal doctrine of the historic fundamental Christian faith in all our true fundamental Bible schools, colleges, and seminaries. Unquote. Then he says this, Bob Walters, he says, to teach what Pastor Theme teaches is as deadly, insidious, as dangerous a heresy as any other false teaching or cult which denies a cardinal Bible doctrine. And so he knows, he's got the insight as to the heresy and the false teaching of Bob Theme on the blood of Christ. There's other references that we could refer to. We're at 28 minutes. Let me just say, Bob Walter also on page 37 here, quoting from the study, Theme has become Satan's instrument or agent in these last days to deny and negate these central and historic truths of the Word. Truths which actually constitute the central and most important doctrines of the entire Bible and of Christianity himself. Hence, Theme is undeniably doing the work of Satan. Therefore, the inescapable conclusion which must be drawn is that Pastor Theme is absolutely the most dangerous heretic or apostate and satanic false teacher of our day. 2 Peter 2, 1-3, unquote, Bob Walter. That certainly is the case. Now, in addition to writing what he wrote, Pastor Bob Walter, on the false teaching of R.B. Theme, Jr., he included some letters from various men all over the country. What do they think? He sent them the tape recording and the transcript of the tape recording of Pastor Bob Theme's view on the blood of Christ and the death of Christ, then asked them, what is it? What do you think about it? And various men answered. Dr. Woodbridge, for example, says, in my opinion, Dr. Theme is guilty of manifest heresy. Now, Dr. Woodbridge hasn't changed his mind on MacArthur. He's still with us. MacArthur is false teaching also. He asked some of the professors at Dallas Seminary about it. Dr. Phil Williams, whom I went to school with, by the way. He says, Dr. Johnson, Professor Hodges, and Dr. Pentecost, he says, we consider that view to be heretical in the New Testament sense of the word. So, all right. But we've lost Phil Williams on MacArthur. He doesn't want to say that about MacArthur. See, he's begged off. These other teachers, I guess, the same. Then he wrote Spiros Zotiates, American Mission to Greeks, AMG. Now they've changed the name of it, but that's what it used to be. And he definitely says that Theme is a heretic. Pastor Theme said, there is no blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins that saves you. Spiros' comment is this, utter heresy. So Spiros Zotiates is definite, clear on Theme. Pastor Theme said, most people say if you don't say it's literal blood, you're not a fundamentalist, you're a heretic. To which Spiros commented in writing, it is true you are, that is a heretic. You see, Spiros Zotiates has not changed on MacArthur. He has not waffled on MacArthur. He's strong. In fact, when I wrote him, I received a reply. I wrote 26 letters of the alphabet minus one, 25, I think, men, and all the same letter, and I sent them materials that MacArthur had said on the blood. What do you think of it? And I got replies from maybe 10 of them or 11 of them out of the 25 or so, and only about three said and agreed with me that it was heretical teaching. Spiros Zotiates was one. In fact, he wrote and he said he's writing a dictionary on haima, the meaning of the word blood, a theological dictionary, and he said, please let me know in about 3 weeks or 3 months, and I'll send you it. And he's got 15 copies in the mail, but it's still in the mail. I haven't received it yet. But he's strong, and he takes a stand that it's heresy. Bob Jones University's Dr. Custer, August 7, 1971 letter. He says, to us, it is the precious blood of Christ. This is on the Theme issue now, not the MacArthur issue, the Theme issue. 1 Peter 1:19, it is the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin, 1 John 1:7. Any man who disparages that by which we are redeemed is dangerous and should be avoided at all costs. On this point, he is a heretic. Now, you see, I don't get that response. I wrote Dr. Custer in the MacArthur situation, and no response. But here, he's strong that Theme is a heretic, because he disparages that by which we are redeemed. He's dangerous. He's to be avoided at all costs. On this point, he is a heretic. Well, MacArthur says the same. He wrote to Oliver B. Green. Of course, Brother Green is with the Lord now. I wrote his son. He said, well, my father and I agree with what he wrote in regard to the Theme situation. And he was very strong and hostile against Theme's heresy. I'm sure he'd be, if he were living today, just as strong against MacArthur's same heresy. He said, God purchased his church with his own blood, and Jesus shed his blood on the cross to purchase the church. We are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. We're redeemed with incorruptible. We're born of the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:18. Then says Oliver B. Green, Jesus shed literal blood. His blood is incorruptible, blood that God the Father gave him when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and as she conceived. And then hell and the grave, as he lives today at the right hand of God the Father, and his blood is there also. So here's Oliver B. Green. I'm sure if he were living today, he would say the same in regard to MacArthur. But we've lost some. Here's Ryrie. He said the shedding of his blood is absolutely less necessary. Ryrie didn't bother to answer my letter on MacDonald, MacArthur. I don't know how I get these golden arches mixed up here. Pardon me. MacArthur. Pardon me, John. Then Dr. Walvert, who's the president of Dallas Seminary, he came through and on the Theme situation, he said, I do believe that he shed his blood as a part of the act of dying and that it was necessary to fulfill such scriptures as so-and-so. The benefits of his shed blood are applied to us today, as in John, 1 John 1 says. So on Theme, he's all right. But on MacArthur, he did not want to be quoted either for MacArthur or against MacArthur. He just wanted to take that middle position. Dear Dr. Walvert, he's my professor, but so on and so forth. So this is Theme, and it's strange, isn't it? That you can take a fellow that is heretical in many areas and everybody's down on him, Bob Theme, but when it comes to the excellent communicator, John MacArthur, with 200 stations approximately, with $9 million income per year in his church, and with 10,000 members and so on, and tremendous influence in writing commentaries published by Moody Press, MacArthur New Testament commentary on Hebrews, for example, and the whole New Testament, men begin to waffle a little bit and back off and say, well, no, I don't know whether I want to make a comment or be quoted too much on this particular individual. But truth is truth, is it not? Amen. And right is right. And if it's sauce for the goose, they used to say, it's sauce for the gander. Now, you know what that means. We ought to have equal treatment under the law. See, we ought to be fair and judicial. And if things equal to the same thing, they used to teach us in geometry, are equal to each other. And therefore, what we say about one thing, if it's one way, ought to be the same thing in the other way. But you know and I know that people are funny, aren't they? Sometimes they're funnier than monkeys. They say, Lou Ayers used to say monkeys are the craziest people, but I wonder. There's the final eighth thing I'd like to talk about. That's Eugene Nida. We have a few minutes, and it's only 5 or 10. We want to break in between the church service and Sunday school, so let me just be brief. In a book called The Future of the Bible by Jacob von Brueggen, here's the cover page. I don't have the book because I can't carry everything in my suitcase, but I have a picture of it. On page 156, he says in the KJV, this passage reads Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Eugene Nida, who's with the American Bible Society and the United Bible Societies and Wycliffe Bible Translators, he's got this scheme of dynamic equivalency, which you're familiar with perhaps, and he talks about kernel statements and so on and so forth, and he takes every one of these words, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and makes either an O, an E, an A, or an R. Talks about the J, sounds like the JEPD documentary hypothesis, doesn't it? O stands for objects, E stands for events, A stands for abstracts, R stands for relations. To be a dynamic equivalentizer and translate the Word of God in something other than a verbal equivalence, you've got to know all four of these things and then think of what is this, what is this. Under the word blood, he has both O and E, both an event, which is death, and an E, which is, O rather, which is an object. Now, blood is an object. It's not an event. Blood is an object. You know what blood is. When you bleed, that's blood. That's an object, isn't it? That's not an event. But he says it's an event, and therefore, he can translate it, God redeemed us through Christ shedding his blood, and God forgave our sins, and therefore, he can make it into death. And here's what von Brueggen says about this. He says, a theological prejudice enters the translation via kernel construction. This is the dynamic equivalency. When Nida analyzes the word blood in Ephesians 1:7, he says that it is literally an object, but being associated with the death of Christ on Golgotha, it is an event. That is to say, though it is literally an object, it really refers to an event. In modern Bible translations, the word blood is therefore increasingly translated by the word death. Death. Or die. Behind the decision to call blood an event word, however, there hides a theological prejudice. That is, the death of Christ on the cross was not bloody. They're trying to reduce that. Then he says, by calling blood an event word and frequently translating it by the word death, the aversion to the classical church doctrine of reconciliation is allowed to enter the translation. So this is in translations as well, the whole area of the blood. And this is a brief explanation in explaining some of the history of the blood of Christ. And we'll close it at this point and turn it back over to Pastor Rasmussen. And the next hour, Lord willing, we'll take exposing